Today we gather to recall with great sorrow, great gratitude, great love, the sacrifice of our good Jesus. It is an odd day. There's no baptisms allowed today. There are no cloths on the altars. They're completely bare and statues are still covered. The holy water is gone. There's no marriages allowed today. There's no mass. This is not a mass. It's the only day of the entire year. There is no mass. But in a beautiful way, what happened today enabled the mass to be possible. And so it's with this kind of eeriness that we kind of come today in this sorrow that we begin at exactly 3 o'clock. The hour that Jesus laid down his life, which is why we started in silence and the priest, the deacon, lay down as this, like, this is the moment that Jesus laid down his life for the salvation of your soul and mine. He gave his life. Our sins are the nails in our good Jesus. I have lately been more and more convicted that we Catholics should spend at least 5 minutes a day staring at the crucifix, staring face to face with what Jesus in the one perfect eternal sacrifice does out of love for yours, all, and mine. That we should stare at the crucifix to a great, more greatly appreciate his sacrifice and his sufferings, but also to teach us as we gaze upon that image of total love, that we then are taught by it how to suffer, how to sacrifice, how to lay our lives down. As I was praying about Good Friday, earlier this week, I was praying about that image of the two thieves that were next to Jesus. Saint Dismas, he's a saint, the one on the right, and Justice, the unrepentant one on the left. This is why the nuns used to hit the wrists of with a ruler, the kids that were left-handed. Because you can be left-handed. But this is because it was seen as like, we want to be on the right. We want to be on the right side of Jesus. And how does each of them suffer? Well, if you open up your good book to Luke's account of the Passion, chapter 23, verse 39, it says that one of the criminals hanging there next to Jesus, reviled him, saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." That's, according to tradition, that's Justice. Justice reviles Jesus. He despises him. But then on the other side, Dismas, he says, "He's done nothing wrong." So while Justice reviles Jesus on the left, Dismas reveres Jesus on the right. Justice, his eyes are on the earth and just this world, because he says, "If you're the Messiah, save yourself and us." He's saying, keep us alive. Get us off these crosses. But Dismas, on the other hand, is thinking about heaven. Dismas says, "Remember me, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom." Dismas is thinking about heaven in his sufferings. And Justice is just thinking about here and how he could be saved from this cross here. Justice utters blasphemies, words of revilement. Dismas utters prayers. Justice seems to suffer without any love whatsoever. He calls out against Jesus in anger, whereas Dismas calls on Jesus with love. Jesus, remember me. Justice sort of seems to have an entitlement, like, if you really actually care and you're actually God, then you can save us from this cross. Whereas Dismas says, oh no, we deserve it. He says, we are justly condemned. He's talking to Justice. Dismas says, we deserve this. We are justly condemned, but he, Jesus, has done nothing wrong. And I think these two gentlemen offer us, how do we want to suffer? What do we do in our sufferings? In our sufferings, are we thinking about heaven? Are we praising the Lord, even in our sufferings like Job and like good Dismas? Are we uttering prayers or are we uttering complaints? Are we dealing patiently or angrily? Are we thinking that I'm too good, I don't deserve this, or are we thinking I deserve everything and more that is coming my way? How do you suffer? Jesus Christ says, if you want to be my disciple, you must take up your cross and follow me. John Vianney, for that reason, he said, worldly people are miserable when they have a cross, but faithful people are miserable when they don't have a cross. We should run to the cross as a miser runs to money. We should run to the cross. We should want it because Jesus says it's the way to heaven. It's the way to union with him. It's the way to true and perfect discipleship is the cross. It becomes the ladder to heaven, our crosses. Because here's the thing, whether you're Justice or Dismas, you're going to have a cross. It's just the way it is. But how we suffer with it, how do we embrace it or do we try to flee from it? The most greatest miseries happen in our lives when we try to run away from the cross. And the greatest miseries happen to those around us when we try to evade the cross. I've seen it many times in family life where the vows become too hard. So we're going to run away. And all the other things that unfold as a consequence. Priests, I've seen priests walk away from their vows because it got too hard. Jesus said it's going to be hard. And if it's not hard, you're not doing it right. Jesus promises the cross, but it's not a punishment, it's a gift. It's the most wonderful gift. And so why do we complain? Why do we resist? Why do we murmur? Why do we try to run away from it? The cross is our ladder to heaven. Our illnesses, our pains, disappointments and setbacks, our temptations and our troubles, the craziness of kids, relationship losses and job losses, blunders and burdens, whatever you call it, it's the cross. And these sufferings, they're real. There's nothing unreal about them. But if we're honest, if I'm honest, we look at the lives of the saints, in particular the ones I even mentioned last night. Blessed Carlo Acutis, who had leukemia at age 15 and died from it. Blessed Alexandrina, who ate nothing but the Eucharist for 13 years, who fell from her apartment 14 feet to the ground and was paralyzed for 30 years. When we think about the saints who suffered so much, but you want to know something? They didn't run away from their cross. They didn't complain against it or lash out at God for having given it to them. They took it, that beautiful, beautiful cross, and they said, Jesus, this is mine to embrace. This is what will bring me to union with you, Because when we hug Jesus, he's on the cross and we hug the cross with him. And like the saints, we can have a peace of mind, a calmness of spirit, even amidst the crosses of life. Because Jesus stripped the cross of its death-dealing power, and he gave it a power that is life-giving. That's what Jesus did on Good Friday. All of our pains are sweet when we bear them with Jesus. And so it is that on this Good Friday, we take up our cross, knowing that our cross is a sharing in his, and that he's with us in it all. We take up our cross, we embrace it, we treasure it. Like Dismas, we pray from it and give God praise with it. Because how can a Christian dislike the cross? Because today in this service, we're going to come forward and we're going to kiss it. Because without it, without the beautiful cross of Jesus and what he did on it and invites us to do on it, it purchased for us eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.